is Mitchell Schumann from Texas A&M University.
Howdy. For those who don't know, that's the official greeting of Texas A&M University, of which I am a PhD student working under Dr. C. Wayne Smith. Today I'm going to be talking about how we've been doing in the past 100 years when it comes to cotton fiber quality. So I only have a short time, so we're going to jump right into it. There's an old adage in breeding, you get what you select for. We've been selecting for fiber quality traits for over 100 years now, but we've been using different measures. For instance, cotton fiber became standard requirement in 1918, but measurements were more subjective. Strength in 1926, a method came up by Chandler and Clemson for objective measurement of strength. Sutter and Webb used a fiber distribution in 32. Bundle fiber strength was looked at using a steelometer in the 40s and 50s. And Micronair was adopted as a cotton classing protocol in 65. And HVI was developed, which is what we mostly use here. It's broadly implemented into breeding programs, both academic, public, and industry as well. And APHIS, which is not as implemented, but came out in the 90s. Its cost limit, cost helps limit its use as well as acceptance. So our population was developed primarily for a genomic selection project on obsolete cotton cultivars from the USDA germplasm collection. And so our population was developed to best model that population, which is good because they're all what we've selected for this is all released cultivars, and we tried to represent each of the growing regions in the United States according to the map on the slide, as well as represent each decade for the past 115 years. So this is a pedigree diagram. I know you can't read this, but I still want to show it up there. We have the different regions that we've represented in this population from the Far East, Southeast, Mid-South, and Southwest. You can read the titles across the top of the slide. And you can't read the years, which are on the far left, but on the lower part is the 1900s all the way up to 2015 is the year. So we did our best to capture not only the good structure for our other project, but also to capture the different regions as well as the different decades that cultivars were released. So for our materials and methods, we grew out this population in two locations with three replications, one in Weslaco, Texas, and another in Corpus Christi, Texas. And fiber quality was phenotyped using HVI and APHIS. We also have spin quality that we're working on for this, but that will not be included in this presentation. For our model, for our ANOVA, we used the top model under analysis with nesting effect of block within the location, and we included the interaction term of location and cultivar. If we found significance in the interaction term, we went ahead and used a simpler model and spread it apart based on location. So as you can see, there's no location effect. We did one for Corpus and one for Weslaco. In the majority of these analyses, we found that there was a significant interaction effect for length. However, when we did the analysis separately between Corpus and Weslaco, the gains were equivalent as well as the significant values. And when we did it, so we ran a combined analysis, and we found that the gains were also equivalent as well as the significant values. So for the purpose of this presentation and simplicity, I mainly included the combined analysis. From the ANOVAs, we calculated the LS means, and we regressed those LS means according to the equation, the regression, simple regression equation on the slide. I did my analysis in R. It's just something it's a software I enjoy using. So what you're about to look at is I'm going to bombard you with scatter plots. I feel like that's the best method to represent genetic gains. So on these scatter plots, on the y-axis, you will see the trait. On the x-axis, you will see the year. Within the box of the scatter plot, you will see the regression formula that was calculated. So you have length, and then the intercept, and then the slope, which is the gain by year. And then underneath that, you have the correlation as well as the adjusted R-squared and the significance level for that regression line. So as you can see in this one, in the 1900s, for upper half mean length for HVI, we were around 1.05. And more modern times, our average seems to be around 1.15. So you, as you can see for upper half mean length, we have made significant gains, and we have good correlation between year and the adjusted R-squared. Surprised that it explained as much as it did, considering this is regressed to year, not necessarily a selection. It's a variable that contains so much with how we select it and things like that. As we pointed out in the earlier slide, we select it using multiple methods over the years. So APHIS, upper quartile length, very similar in gains. The gain is very similar to upper half mean length for HVI, which is good. We had good correlation as well as a very significant model, and we've been making gains in this area. APHIS, one of the good things about APHIS is it allows us to look at by weight, but also by the individual fibers. It allows us to look at individual fibers, whereas HVI is bundle strength. So if you look at length by weight, according to APHIS, again, very equivalent gains to upper half mean length and upper quartile length by weight. Very significant regression. I've labeled the outliers on each of these slides. Some people might want to look at those and see what those are. So I went ahead and put those up there. And one of the things you'll notice is the outliers for all the lengths are consistent, which is good. We want to see consistency. So this is APHIS length by number. So this is looking at the individual fibers in the sample. As you can see, we have also made gains in this area, and it's very equivalent to the gains by length by weight, upper half mean length, and upper quartile length by weight. So we've been making good gains overall across the board in length, and we've been making gains in uniformity. Again, very significant regression, very good correlations with the year. So we've not only been getting length, we've been getting uniformity. Our short fiber content, as you can see, is going down, and that's very significant. So that's a good thing by weight. According to spinning, less errors in spinning. And also the short fiber content by number, it's not as significant. You see a little bit more spread. However, you do see correlation, and you do see a significant negative gain in short fiber content, which are things we all want to see. I went ahead and included gains for length by weight coefficient of variation. And the reason is it kind of sums it up in that we've been getting longer fiber, we've been getting more uniform fiber, and we've been getting less variation within our fiber samples, which are all good things. So we've been making good gains in the realm of length over the past 100 years. One thing that one may find surprising is micronair. We've been getting gains in micronair, whereas micronair is normally not necessarily select it for gain, but for within a range. So, however, we have been seeing gains in micronair over time. We've also been seeing gains in maturity, significant gains in maturity over the last 100 years. We've seen subtle gains in fineness as well. So we've seen the gains in micronair and the gains in maturity and the gains in fineness. However, we did not find gains in standard fineness, so we've only found it in the Militex. And this is also a positive gain in fineness, which might not be what people want. So gains in strength, we have found also significant gains in strength over the last 100 years. So what I did next is I split up the data into varieties released before 1980 and varieties released after 1980. The reason I did this is because broad use of HVI began around the 1980s. Companies pretty much were 100% by the end of the 90, by the end of the 80s, early 90s, and then the public sector moved in almost universally in the 90s. So we've that's why I went ahead and separated the data by this year, just to see if there's a difference in gains between before the 80s and after the 80s due to the broad use of HBI. As you can see from the slide up here, the dot is the means it wasn't significant. And I only included variables or numbers, statistics for the significant gains in this slide. So as you can see from length, we really haven't made a major impact. It's almost the same before 1980 and after 1980, even with the broad use of HBI. Now, there may be several reasons for this. It might just be that it's a relatively short time frame with regards to 100 years of data. Another thing that you might find in the literature is in the 90s, there was the implementation of transgenics. So there was more back crossing than forward crossing for specific fiber quality. And other studies in genetic gains have also found less impact in gains because of this that they attribute to what happened in the 90s with transgenics. So we may be picking that up also in this model. So even though we might not have more impact on gains through HBI, it doesn't mean that we haven't been able to better identify outliers. So I want to point that out also. And also to remind you that there were objective selection techniques before the 80s. Just because we didn't have HBI didn't mean we didn't have anything. So last I want to talk about this correlation table. On the top right, what you will see is the correlations before 1980. In the bottom left, you will see the correlations below 1980. I don't have time to talk about all this, but I would like to talk about strength. One of the things we found interesting about strength, we believe some of the components to be secondary wall development or maturity, as well as fineness, because strength is measured in a bundle fiber sheath strength. So we take a bundle of fibers. Now, if we have more secondary wall development, yes, that will provide the strength. But also, if we have a finer sample, we can put more fibers within that clamp, get more friction, more strength, and also length. The longer the fibers are, the more probability they have to actually be caught up in that clamp and pulled apart. So all these things we believe to be contributing to strength. One of the interesting things you will find from this slide is that fineness, standard fineness, upper half mean length, all the length measurements were more correlated before 1980 or had a stronger correlation before 1980 than after 1980. However, maturity ratio has increased after 1980, which leads the from this data, obviously more studies will need to be found, but it does seem that maturity contributes a lot to the strength after the 1980s. So anyway, I would like to thank Cotton Incorporated, who has provided not only my own funding, but funding for the research, the HBRI Fiber Initiative at Texas Tech University for doing the fiber analysis, running the HBI, the APHIS, and currently the spinning, and the consulting of Dr. Hikay. And the Cotton Improvement Lab, everybody there, Mrs. Don Dino, and the grad students, and the undergrads, and the interns. Without their help, none of this research would be possible. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes. Well, those 73s were a subset of a larger population that we used to develop the best explain the obsolete cultivars from the USDA germplasm collection. So what we did from that population, we selected individuals released cultivars that were from each growing location, as well as represented each decade within our time frame that we measured. Yes?
You had a few outliers on your slide. Did you include those outliers in your R-squared?
Yes, I did.
So clean.
Yeah, they actually threw off the model. If you take those out, you get stronger correlation and stronger adjusted R-squares. And the, I didn't
get it. It was my number. It just doesn't fit here. It's how we manage the loss.
Well, most, a lot of the measurements are for a bundle sheath, and APIS is really the only measurement that uses individual fibers. So I guess I would speculate that it's because we don't look at the individual fibers most of the time. It's, APIS isn't widely implemented into breeding programs, at least not into ours. Yes?
Since you have a variety of breeding lines on all of the places,
yes, we did see a significant difference in fiber quality between locations. It was very subtle for the most part, and it was mainly in the southeast. The west, the southwest, and the mid-south were fairly similar in fiber quality. So southeast seemed a little bit less. So yes, you're right. It would be best to grow in different regions. But, yes. Okay. The Micronair graph was all over the place, and so what is my take on Micronair? As I mentioned in the presentation, we were kind of surprised to see gains in Micronair because it's selected for a range. So we have been making gains. They weren't as highly significant as a 0.001 p-value, but they were significant at a 0.05 p-value. Selection isn't for making necessarily in a lot of programs for making gains in Micronair. You want to mainly keep it within a range because you don't want your fiber becoming too immature and just flying all over the place when you're ginning. And Micronair is a confounding variable of fineness as well as maturity, as well as that secondary growth.
One more question.
Yes, please. No, I can't tell you that off the top of my head. I apologize.
Let's thank Mitchell.
Thanks for your time.